Hello, Georgie Frost here. Before we dive into today's episode about how cost is back on the table for CEOs, let me introduce you to Imagine This, a new podcast hosted by BCG's editor-in-chief, Paul Michaelman, and our very own conversational AI agent, Gene.
Imagine this. In 2030, the CFO of a Fortune 100 company is a bot. I'm Paul Michaelman, and on Imagine This, we'll be exploring possible futures and the implications they hold for organizations. Joining me will be BCG's top experts, as well as my co-host Gene, BCG's conversational Gen AI agent.
Blending human creativity with AI innovation, this podcast promises an unmatched listening journey.
Join us on Imagine This from BCG.
For CEOs, cost efficiency is back on the table. After years of unparalleled disruption, from geopolitical turmoil to a global pandemic, businesses have been playing a game of whack-a-mole. But with macroeconomic challenges still with us, what is the best way to do this without stifling growth? I'm Georgie Frost, and this is the So What from BCG.
I think many executives would be surprised at what has built up in the last 5 or 6 years that maybe they haven't taken this holistic look at their organization. If you haven't mapped your network, if you haven't taken a hard look at your contracts, your pricing, your supplier, I think you have to step back and really look at the cost of your supply chain end to end. And there's lots of ways to find inefficiency, to benchmark that, but you really need to step back and take that holistic look.
Today, I'm talking to Paul Goyden, global leader of BCG's Accelerated Cost Advantage program.
When you talk to our clients around the globe, since the pandemic, almost the last 4 or 5 years, we have had every year a disruption that we didn't plan for. And CEOs have been staying one step ahead of what the world has thrown at business the last couple of years. And we're really seeing that that has built up complexity in operations. With the margin pressures we're facing, that complexity is something that we have to step back and address.
Which is what it looks like companies are doing. So what is changing?
I think what is changing is we now have the pressure on margins and we have the need from shareholders, from investors to step back and look at cost. We can't do that across the board. There's this need to invest in new products and new services. And 2/3 of corporate leaders are saying, I need talent in parts of my business and I have immense cost pressure in other parts of my business. This is not a one size fits all problem. And I need to be very thoughtful, but I have to go address it because earnings are under intense pressure. And when we talk to these leaders, and this is, you know, our 60th year here at BCG, but 80% of corporate leaders are able to hit their earnings target and their cost target when they really go after it with a dedicated program. But only 30% come back to us 2 years later and say it was able to last. And so what we've really been focusing on at BCG is the surgical focus to make companies leaner and then to help it last so you have a new sustainable change in operations. And I think that is really where we're going in 2024.
I guess when you think about cost management, when you outline all of the problems that we've faced over the last few years, there's a sense that cost management is about almost hunkering down, laying off staff, just getting through. But actually, you want to grow. You want to reinvest into the future of your business, sustainability. So how do you marry those two?
I can take a great example of working with a company that had made just a step change in the application of digital to their business, the way they were interfacing with customers, the way they were running their operations and engaging with their employees. We went in and we saw about 28% of their cloud cost was completely and absolutely wasted through architecture, through computing processes that were no longer needed, through applications that were duplicative, et cetera. And so when we think about cost, digital, omnichannel, those are huge parts of a company's growth agenda. But on the same token, think about the reinvestment potential if you can go in and you can optimize the way you're using cloud computing power. 5-8 years ago, cloud computing power was almost never a line item that would rise to the executive level. And now we have CEOs saying, what is this? Why am I spending so much with my cloud providers? I haven't seen that before. And so that's just one example of where really looking at the efficiency in your cost structure in a new way gives you back money that you can invest in critical digital and AI capabilities.
That's one example. How else do you focus on priorities?
after everything we've been through the last 5 years, companies really need to look across their entire cost base at where they're deploying human capital, where they need critical skills and talent, how they're designing their products. We find when companies look at product design, there's features, there's waste in manufacturing, there's adjustments that were made in the pandemic, that were made before you rewired your supply chain, that are duplicative, that are just waste, all the way to how you're deploying middle management, how you're thinking about your overhead costs to procurement and supply chain and interfaces with vendors. I think that the holistic end-to-end look at where you're spending money is more critical now than it ever was. And some companies are going to find, interestingly enough, they're probably underspending in some areas. And you almost have to take that sort of end-to-end clean sheet view, find the areas where you're underinvesting, and then find the areas where you can reduce waste or inefficiency and reallocate and give the rest back to shareholders.
How do you identify which are the areas that you need to invest in now and which are the areas that you've overinvested in?
Something that we've picked up, we'll talk to a corporate leader and they'll say, I'm doing great today. I think I've got a handle on it, but I really feel like I'm going to be lapped in 2 years. I'm really concerned about what my competitors are doing with AI, what they're doing with product innovation, and I need to keep up and I need to accelerate. And that's brought back to the fore questions on benchmarking, questions on understanding from data, where is my performance, and then actually leaning in with, say, zero-based budgeting. How can I have an ongoing process to look at every dollar I spend and the value it gives back to the company? Because there is this sense that we're going to have a soft landing, but also this fear that either there'll be another unprecedented disruption or one of our competitors is going to use AI, use technology in a way, and leap in front of us.
That's one of the big issues, isn't it? I mean, we've had some really unprecedented last few years, but actually you could take it back a lot longer than that. I mean, certainly in the UK, we've had Brexit, we've had a financial crash, we've had a bubble, a tech bubble. Like, we've had, it seems never ending. So actually, is that sort of disruption to be considered the new norm? How can you prepare yourself to be resilient but still grow?
Resiliency and the need to build into your supply chain and your corporate operating model, the ability to adapt, is here to stay. When we went out and in the fourth quarter, we interviewed several hundred executives and C-suite leaders, 85% of them said, we expect unknown disruption. It is part of business. So our strategic planning, our budgeting processes, we need to look at things quarterly that we used to only look at every year. And we need to really have market sensing capabilities. We think about how can I use real-time data to understand what's happening with consumers? How can I feed that into where I'm putting investments, where I'm putting inventory in my business? How can I have the capabilities to weave that market sensing into my operational planning? So I think companies are increasing the clock cycle, the amount of data that they're getting on markets and supply chains, and the frequency with which they're revisiting corporate decisions. And all of that has to be done with a very, very lean mentality. You have to be very careful about where you build up resources and inventory, and you've got to be willing to flex it and move it. Because no one thinks we're going to go back to a more stable world in the short term.
If cost management isn't now a top priority for a leader, what would that mean for them in the coming years?
With what we've been through in cost of living crises and inflation, cost is critical in almost every single business. Consumers can't take higher prices, and competition is intense in almost every industry. So while some companies don't compete only on cost, every company needs to be lean and be able to manage price, manage product innovation in a very agile way.
Let's look at some of the levers then to reducing costs. What are we seeing companies already using? What do we know works?
First and foremost, I think this conversation we had a couple of minutes ago, really understanding the value of what you're producing and taking almost the blank sheet look at 2024. What do my customers need and what do I need internally to deliver it? So I think this look at the value of each and every internal product, and that goes back to the numerous stories. If we go into a company and we talk about cost and efficiency, and we probably find 50 plus management reports that have teams producing them, and the purpose of those reports is lost in the sands of time. We see people reporting on HR statistics when in fact the company replaced its human resources system 2 years ago and it's in an automated dashboard, and just the dots haven't been connected. And so what is the value and the need today of everything the company is doing? That's absolutely critical. Second, supply chain. We can't talk enough at BCG about the need to rewire your supply chain to look at the current state of tariffs, geopolitics, manufacturing cost, to build in flexibility and resiliency, to think about keeping your supply chain closer to your consumers without slowing down the velocity of product deliveries. The whole network planning topic has come back. And then talent and the workforce. The workforce has not recovered from COVID, and we have not seen employment levels come back. And so CEOs are simultaneously worried about overhead cost and about having talent and critical skill sets. And so there's a real focus on where am I investing my human capital? Where am I investing my talent? I think 56% of executives, when we talk to them, say they're still concerned about talent, even though they're also concerned about overhead cost.
Let's just take supply chain as an example. It's huge. How do you go about pivoting? Is it a question of just do a quick screeching U-turn, or is this sort of a slow process of turning things around? What is the best way to pivot with something as big and complicated as your supply chain, for example?
There is no quick pivot in supply chain. It goes all the way back to where do you want to have your manufacturing footprint? And we're seeing companies come up and challenge as great manufacturing locations. We're seeing Southeast Asian countries. We're seeing countries like Turkey come in with competitive workforces and infrastructure for manufacturing. So it goes back to where do I want to put my manufacturing capability? Companies are required now to learn much more about their suppliers. And it's no longer sufficient to say, I'm buying a part from company X. You actually have to know, where does company X get the raw materials? Are they exposed to any number of risk that maybe impact the end company? And so you also have to get the data and the collaboration to go much further back with your vendors and suppliers. You can't just assume that because you have a contract with company X, they're always going to have your widget at the plant gate. So I think it is being very data-driven. It's very deliberate, going all the way back to where do your suppliers source raw materials? Where do you have your manufacturing footprint? And then we're finding we have to keep inventory in places and buffer stock, because we have to expect disruptions and we have to be able to pivot. And that is coming back into the fore and being strategic about it again, so you don't build up unnecessary inventory.
I have to ask you, Paul, you mentioned early on, you mentioned about technology and AI. What role do you see that playing?
AI is driving real efficiency gains. We're just at the start. And I think companies are telling us that not every AI-driven project actually works out. But we've seen in tech companies, coding has improved over 50% in 18 months because of the Copilot tools that we've developed. We're finding that AI can reduce manual interactions in things as rudimentary as journal entry reconciliation to customer service calls to preliminary processing of claims for insurance. All of that is just efficiency that we've seen in 18 months. We're also seeing just the processing power that's available to companies. You can run millions and millions of theoretical pharmaceutical compounds in a matter of days using cloud computing to completely transform the way pharmaceutical R&D is done. And that's all outside of a laboratory. And it's done much faster than any of the previous approaches to finding new compounds. At the risk of rambling on, I do a lot of work in industrial companies. And we have a client that created a mechanic co-pilot, where when a mechanic is at a piece of equipment, AI, we had AI read all the manuals for the piece of equipment. And the mechanic can type in and say, this is what I see on this piece of equipment. And they get really accurate advice in seconds on an iPhone of this is what's wrong. These are the parts you need. This is what you do. And it's just dramatically changed the effectiveness of maintenance in the shop. And all we did was had ChatGPT read the manuals and be able to send that data, talk back to the technician. So I really think we're just seeing the very first slivers of impact from AI on companies' cost structure and efficiency. And that's why CEOs are saying, I need to move fast, because someone may be moving faster.
Paul, you've spoken to a lot of leaders around this. What are their sentiments going into the year? How are they feeling?
The most fascinating statistic I pulled out of the last month is something like 3/4 of economists feel like we're going to have a soft landing. I think fewer than 50% of CEOs feel like we're going to have a soft landing. And probably less than 1/3 of consumers and voters feel like the economy is in a good place. That's the heart of uncertainty. The gap between consumer sentiment and CEO sentiment, and the gap between CEO sentiment and what economic data is very likely telling central bankers and economists. It's amazing. The uncertainty in the world is here to stay, and it's very, very high. And that trickles through where consumers spend their money, what products they buy, whether they go on holiday this year. CEOs are thinking about, do I build a new plant? How much do I put in innovation? I still have to meet my earnings targets. And then central bankers are saying, I think we landed the plane. It's great. Keep your chin up and move forward. So there is this disconnect between perhaps what some would call economic reality and sentiment that is driving uncertainty.
And I suppose
it's going to be a very interesting year.
Driving business decisions, because those will be at the back of leaders' yes. minds when they're thinking about cost management.
That's the other reason leaders want to stay lean. They're saying, it could be good, but I'm not sure it's good. I need to be really lean.
So can you give us, finally, I appreciate, you know, you need to know your business and how it works and the areas where you can cut back, et cetera, and cost management. But is there sort of a general blueprint that leaders can start to follow?
Yeah. First and foremost, companies need to really get a handle of their cost data and really get their middle managers to understand it and to act on it. When we walk into a company, I think this is true across the board, we say, what's your cost baseline? And it's very easy to get public financials, to get sort of audited financials, and they're very high quality. They don't actually tell you, what does it cost to make a certain product? What cost is in your supply chain? What have your suppliers done to you in price increases? None of that information exists. So I think companies are actually having to go back and really build the data against which they can look at efficiency and they can look at effectiveness. Absolutely. Companies need to look at their organization design. They need to look at where they're deploying talent. Organizational design is living and breathing. Every time you hire someone, every time someone retires, you change your organization inadvertently. People move around. So you also have to step back and look at your organizational design and look at where you're putting human capital. Has middle management built up in inefficient areas? How many layers should be between a frontline employee and the CEO? The CEO may say, I think there's only 4 or 5 layers between me and the factory worker. And then you could go in the actual HR system, you could say, no, it's 7 or 8 layers between the CEO and the frontline factory worker. Everything we talked about, the pace of decision-making, the need to have your talent in critical areas, the need to be agile, messages have to go from the executive suite all the way to the factory floor very, very quickly. And so you do need to look at your organization design, the number of layers. And I think many executives would be surprised at what has built up in the last 5 or 6 years that maybe they haven't taken this holistic look at their organization. And then, you know, finally, if you haven't mapped your network, if you haven't taken a hard look at your contracts, your pricing, your supplier, I think you have to step back and really look at the cost of your supply chain end to end. And there's lots of ways to find inefficiency, to benchmark that. But you really need to step back and take that holistic look.
Cool. Thank you so much. And to you for listening. If you want to know more about BCG's latest survey of CEOs on cost, check out our show notes for the link. We'd also love to know your thoughts. To get in contact, leave us a message at thesowhat@bcg.com. And if you like this podcast, why not hit subscribe and leave a rating wherever you found us? It helps other people find us too.